Good evening and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the Beyond the Pitch and FNX Media Networks. I'm your host, Joe Uccello, and tonight we continue our 2019 Copa America preview by highlighting Argentina. Joining me as always, my co-host, Mr. Roberto Rojas, and from Mundo Albiceleste, Mr. Roy Namier. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining me tonight. Roy, I want to start out with you, and I want to talk about Argentina's main focus going into the 2019 Copa America, especially coming off the heels of the 2018 World Cup, where this team lost to the eventual champion France.
Yeah, it's the main focus, I think, for Scaloni and the team will be, I think, just rebuilding. A lot of the old guys are gone, like Mascherano, Biglia, even probably Rojo on defense and Fazio and whatnot. It's building, and it's building with a young team. This is a very young team that he's selected, or at least an inexperienced team. The likes of, you know, I mean, Nicolas Tagliafico with Ajax, who was part of the World Cup, is slowly becoming one of the leaders on the team. You have the likes of Gonzalo, well, Titi Martinez from Atlanta, Nacho Fernandez, who's relatively new to the team as well, Matias Suarez, who's 30 years old, 30 or 31, but he's finally getting a chance on the team, Lautaro Martinez with Inter, Dybala with Juventus, obviously, Lo Celso in midfield, Paredes in midfield, Ezequiel Palacios from River in midfield. So we're kind of getting a lot of young players, a little bit slightly older players, but none of which are really experienced with the team. And I think the main focus now is building towards the World Cup in Qatar in 2022 rather than actually winning the Copa America.
You know, Roy, obviously, I think we're looking into the Copa America. It's kind of big of a reminder that we have to realize that this is the second most successful nation in the history of the Copa Americas. You know, they've won it 15 times. It has been quite, of course, the big thing is that the last time that they did win the Copa America, and that this is I'm talking senior title, was 1993 in Ecuador, which was 25 years ago. Since then, they have made it to three quarterfinals, withdrew from 2001, hosted in 2011, but ran short and got eliminated in the quarterfinals on penalties, and finished runners-up in 2004, 2007, 2015, and 2016. Now heading into 2019, on the 25th anniversary of the last title for Argentina. And, you know, like you said, you kind of mentioned how this is kind of the last, you know, chance of this generation of players, you know, the 2007 U20 side, you know, like that generation of born in like 87, 88, those type of players. The Messi generation, we like to say. What is the vibe in this particular Copa America, especially given that they will look to co-host the next Copa America next year with Colombia? What do you think is the vibe heading in Argentina at this moment, especially now, you know, with Messi almost a couple more years left of his career, and with a new, as you said, like a new generation building?
I think it's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of nervousness. You know, after the World Cup, after the match against France, like I said, a lot of players retired. And then when Scaloni took over, at least temporarily, we saw, you know, some new players emerge in the friendly matches, right? And several of them eventually made it to, you know, to the preliminary list that just got announced with the Copa America. A lot of them played really well. The likes of Lo Celso played well. Some not so well, like Paredes. And then Scaloni injected Messi back in the team against Venezuela in March. And that was a disaster. It wasn't on Messi, it wasn't on the players. I think it was more of Scaloni trying to get the players to play with Messi. Because a lot of what we saw was the players trying to play for Messi rather than with him. And I think that's a big, big problem moving forward. And I think it's been a problem for a long time. And we've seen it several times in Argentina. It's not good. You know, it's something that has to change. They have to play as a team. And like you'd see it against the match against Venezuela, you'd see a player would get the ball, Lo Celso would get the ball. And normally if Messi's not there, Lo Celso gets the ball. He looks for a pass, he'll make a quick run, he'll do something. Messi's there, Lo Celso gets the ball, passes it to Messi, everyone stands still. And I don't know if that's just kind of like in awe of Messi and like, okay, let's see what the genius does. Or kind of like, oh no, we're scared of even doing anything. Let's pass the ball to Messi. Or maybe, I don't know. I literally don't know at this point. But you saw it in the next match against Morocco a couple of days later, which wasn't the prettiest of matches. Weather conditions were crap, but you saw a little bit more of a team there rather than against Venezuela. And ironically enough, Messi was not playing. He was injured. And I think the vibe going in is, like I said, nervousness. Nervousness maybe from the players, nervousness from Scaloni. I mean, Scaloni is essentially inexperienced. He has no coaching experience, at least not at senior level. And he's handed the reins of an Argentina team that's literally in the very beginning of a, you know, a whole new generation of players. And you're giving them the keys and you're like, okay, run with it. Let's see what you can do. And essentially the way I see it is the Federation has wasted essentially the first year of a rebuilding process. And not saying, you know, the right players haven't been selected. They have been, but, and it's not even a matter of results, but it's just a matter of playing style. There's nothing that's there. We haven't really gotten the same starting 11 in any of the matches. And it doesn't look like there's a structure. It kind of looks like, okay, we're more or less keeping the same players, but not the same starting 11s, no real formation put in place. And now with Messi back in, you know, back into the fold, it's kind of like they're restarting from zero. And for me, it just feels like 1 year wasted rather than a year invested towards the World Cup in Qatar.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Scaloni, because many people are really shocked of the appointment of him being a caretaker coach. Many people, you know, Chiqui Tapia did say that he was confirmed to the post until after the Copa America is over. Now, there is obviously a big chance here, and I think given the circumstances that are happening at AFA, you know, and the economics and all the money that has been wasted on the coaches that have happened ever since the 2014 World Cup, many people would expect Scaloni to keep the post after the Copa America, regardless if they win it or not. Do you see it that way? And if so, do you support that decision, or do you see someone in coming in to take care of this team heading into World Cup qualification?
I think we're going to stay with Scaloni. I don't, regardless of the coach who comes in, whether it's Scaloni or anyone else, I don't think this team is capable of winning the Copa America. As much as it pains me, for me, in my opinion, this team is a quarterfinal team at best, if they're lucky, semifinals. I don't see them winning the final. Ironically enough, you know, they might actually end up making the final and winning it, considering it's probably the weakest team they've fielded in quite some time, or at least the most inexperienced team. With that said, I don't think they're going to win the Copa America. I think Scaloni stays on as coach for how long, I don't know. Just because I don't see anyone else taking the team. I don't see anyone else available. And if there is someone available, why would anyone touch this team? If we're being honest, the Federation is a mess. It has been for years. Everyone knows it. You know, we've discussed it several times on the podcast. This Federation is just, it's chaotic. It's really, it's a mess. We have a new coach pretty much every year. And why would anyone want to coach this team? Aside from the fact that, hey, I get to coach Argentina. I get to coach Lionel Messi. Sure, but with the pressure that comes with it, with the demands, with everything, you know, it's not a very fun job. And for that reason, I think Scaloni stays. Do I support it? No. Nothing against Scaloni, but he hasn't necessarily shown me anything for me to kind of, like, you know what, I see something in him. I think he's going to do well. If given time, you know, the team will progress and all that stuff. I don't see it. I haven't seen it. Maybe I'll be proven wrong at the Copa America. I don't know. Essentially, what we've been getting is Scaloni integrating the likes of Walter Samuel on the team. Diego Placente is playing with the youth, or coaching the youth team, sorry. Pablo Aimar is coaching the youth teams. So we're getting a lot of veteran players from 10, 15, 20 years ago as part of the coaching staff, which is good. That I'm for. But when your main guy is someone like Lionel Scaloni, who hasn't coached any senior team and has no coaching experience, coaching Argentina, I think that's a problem, and that's not something I can get behind and support. Unfortunately, we have no other options.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So now, just heading into the Copa America, we're going to look at the group real quick. Obviously, it's a tough group, I think, for all the teams that are in this. Firstly, we're going in order. They got drawn in Group B. They will take on Colombia first in Salvador on the 15th. Then they travel to Belo Horizonte to take on Paraguay 4 days later. And then they finish it off in Porto Alegre against Qatar on the 23rd. So, I mean, Roy, Joe, I'll go to you on this first. I mean, it kind of has to be made that you would expect Argentina to, you know, to win this group. I think they're one of the odds-on favorite. But looking at this team, as Roy said, you know, it is one of the weakest in quite some time. Mm-hmm. You know, does that give much more pressure for Argentina for them to slip up? Do you see that possibility where a team like Paraguay or Colombia could take that top spot, or do you see that not going that way for this Argentina side.
No, I think you're right. I think this could be, a banana skin, as we like to say, especially when you look at the first match in the group, which is probably the toughest opponent in Colombia. They're going to have to face that biggest team, that big test right away. And if they drop points in that first step, they're going to have to really focus on Paraguay, who they'll face next. I mean, this goes, if you wanted to classify this from toughest team to easiest team, this is the way Argentina is going to go. You would expect that last match to be a layup in Qatar against Qatar, but not necessarily. So this team has to get off on the right foot, and this could be really a slippery spot for them, especially coming right up against Colombia, right at the first match, right at the onset of the tournament. Roy, I want to jump in and ask you the same question. What are your thoughts on what Rob had to say about how this group breaks down and how it goes for him?
I think it's going to be a very difficult group. I do agree with you, Joe, in the sense of Argentina have to come out of this out of the first match with a win. We saw what happens under pressure against Iceland at the World Cup. They drew the first match. I don't think a draw against Colombia would be the worst result in the world. I think on paper, Colombia is the most difficult team out of the three. No offense, with all due respect. Roberto, I think on paper, at least anyways, Colombia's most difficult team. Doesn't mean it will be. Don't forget, aside from Colombia, you have Paraguay, who's actually doing pretty well. All credit where credit's due. And then you have Qatar, who are what? Asian champions? Asian Cup champions?
Yeah, that's right.
So it's not an easy group. Yeah, it's not an easy group. I'll accept a draw against Colombia and gamble and hope to get two wins in the remaining matches. I think a win against Colombia would definitely boost the team in terms of morale. A loss against Colombia, and this could absolutely be a disaster. The only good thing I could see coming out of this group or this tournament for Argentina is the fact that for the first time in a long time, aside from the last World Cup, there's no pressure on Argentina to win it. Granted, I'm sure Messi has the pressure, of wanting to lift the trophy with Argentina and all that stuff. I don't doubt it for a single second. But I think all the media focus will be on Brazil playing, on home soil, and potentially even Uruguay winning it. But I don't think Argentina are considered as one of the favorites this time around, which could play to their advantage.
Sure. Oh, definitely, because it makes them kind of a silent assassin when you think about it. No one's paying attention to them, and they still have Lionel Messi. He's still, arguably the greatest player in the world. So I think it does make them a sneaky opponent. Looking at the group, though, just before we jump on into players and that sort of thing, really the key, because of the way the Copa America breaks down, where really the top two qualify, the third goes into that knockout based on ranking position. The idea is to really crush Qatar, isn't it, at the end?
Oh, it has to be. Yeah. It has to be. If they end up winning against Qatar, which I hope to God that happens, they have to score as many goals as possible, because you would think Colombia is going to score against them. You would think Paraguay is going to score against them. And, we're looking at Qatar as being, the whipping boys of the group. Doesn't mean they will be. Doesn't mean they will be at all. Look at Iceland last time in the World Cup. Everyone thought, they did well in the Euros, but come on, it's Argentina, it's Nigeria, it's Croatia, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And Iceland ended up being a difficult team to play against. And Qatar has absolutely nothing to lose. Their confidence is high. They won the Asian Cup. They have nothing to lose. They're not expected to make it out of the group. So why not, try and give it a go? Sure. Obviously, if Argentina's backs are against the wall and they're up against Qatar in the last match in a must-win, I'll accept a win. I don't see it being, a high-scoring game, though. Mm-hmm. But definitely they have to score as much goals as they can against them, for sure.
No doubt about it. Before I jump into the players, I do have one quick question that I want to run by you about the storyline. Especially, you said earlier that Scaloni is probably going to be staying on after this tournament, especially if this team makes the quarterfinals or the semifinals, like you had said. What are his primary concerns in this particular tournament with this team? Because he has some well-knowns in Messi and others, but he has some unknowns as well. So what are his primary concerns, especially gearing up this team for qualifying for the World Cup in 2022?
I think it's finding, number one, he has to find a goalkeeper. And that's something that has worried me for a long, long time, in the sense of we don't have a goalkeeper yet, at least not a number one. And that's a problem. Scaloni has had several matches now to try different goalkeepers, and he still hasn't selected one. Personally, my favorite would have been Walter Benitez of Nice in France. He hasn't even been selected for the preliminary list. My guess is Franco Armani will get, the starting position. I think Scaloni has to have a goalkeeper in mind, at least moving towards the World Cup qualifiers. Other than that, he has to solidify that back line. You know, left back spot, chances are it's going to be to Tagliafico. In my opinion, the two center backs should be Germán Pezela and Walter Kahneman. And on the right side, you know, probably Saravia, who knows. He has to figure something out. He needs to find a starting 11 and stick to it. We can't have a Jorge Sampaoli thing where every single match under him, be it at the World Cup or friendly matches or World Cup qualifier, we had a different 11. That can't happen. We need, at the very least, we need a starting goalkeeper, number one, who has the confidence of no matter what's going to happen, you're my number one goalkeeper. He needs that you know, center back pairing at the very least. And he needs players that score goals. Ironically enough, you know, Argentina have a lot of big names when it comes to goal scorers, or at least historically, right? Messi, Higuain, Agüero, Di Maria, all that stuff. But for the longest time, we've had difficulties scoring goals. And he needs to find a goal scorer, someone to help Messi out up front. In my opinion, it should be Agüero, at least for this tournament. But who knows, you know, what's going on is thinking.
Now, I'm going to start from the back and work my way to the front of the team. So going back to goalkeeper quickly, I know you believe it's going to be Franco Armani. The River Plate goalkeeper has only had four caps for this team. He's 32 years old. He's actually the oldest in the crop. What's the chance that Scaloni goes with Juan Musso, the goalie at Udinese? 25 years old. He's the youngest of the group selected to the preliminary squad. Does he get a crack at this with an eye to the future? Or you think it's Armani and maybe more of an experienced goalkeeper that might want to try and win this tournament or take them quite deep?
I think he'll go with Armani. I think he'll definitely go with Armani. I don't think Juan Musso will even make the final 23, but okay. I hope he does. I think he's a pretty good goalkeeper. I'll select him in terms of, you know, potential experience for the future, just hanging around the group and getting a vibe of it all. In my opinion, the starting goalkeeper will be Armani. I think that's what Scaloni is leaning towards. If not him, probably Agustin Marchesin. Andrada of Boca, possibly, but you know, that's an outside chance. I think it's definitely going to be Armani that will be the starting goalkeeper.
Okay, and then obviously, because we're going to whittle this 36-man roster down to 23 before the tournament. You talked about the back line quickly. Guys like Nicolas Otamendi and Gabriel Mercado on the northern side of 30 years old. This back line is old. The youngest player is Saravia at 25. Do Otamendi and or Mercado make the squad?
I think Otamendi does. I think Mercado's a question mark merely because of, you know, his injuries. I think he's kind of been injury prone lately. I think Otamendi makes it for sure. In my opinion, I think Scaloni will go with the center back pairing of Otamendi and Kahneman. Although I would prefer to see someone like Pezela, you know, with Kahneman over there. I think Otamendi makes it. I think he's kind of been that go-to center back for Scaloni. Mercado will have some competition as a right back. I don't think he should play as a center back. I think he's far too short for that. You know, despite that kind of being his natural position sort of thing. But I think Mercado has a chance of missing out. Otamendi, in my opinion, makes it and even makes a starting 11.
Okay. And last question I want to ask, and then I'm going to ask the same question to Rob too, but I want your opinion on it first, Roy. The magic question, the striker question. Obviously, with this list, we've got Dybala, we've got Aguero, we've got Messi, we've got Icardi, Lautaro, Pity Martinez is on this list as well. How do they set up top? Do they set up in a 4-3-3? Do they set up with two strikers, one striker? And who is that starting striker for them?
Your guess is as good as mine. no. Well, actually, yes. But, you know, like from what I've been able to gather, at least from my thoughts and, you know, my opinion, from, you know, watching Argentina play with Scaloni as coach, it all depends. I think we're going to play more of a 4-4-2. I don't think he's going to go with the 4-3-3. I think it's going to be a 4-4-2. So I think it's going to be Messi up front with who, I don't know. You know, against Venezuela, we had, it was Lautaro, if I'm not mistaken, that started that match. And I didn't think he played that bad. I think he was one of our better players against Venezuela and even scored. I think Lautaro probably gets a chance. I would love to see Agüero play. I know people are going to hate it because we've seen Messi and Agüero play together for the longest time. It hasn't always worked out. And people want to see the fresh faces. And I agree. I definitely agree. But I think Agüero, you know, for the past year and a half, has stepped it up and arguably been, you know, the best, you know, forward in the game, in the world. You know, we see him with Manchester City. Ironically enough, he might even not make the squad. He might not make the final 23. I think Dybala misses. I think Icardi misses out. I think we're going to get something like a Messi and Lautaro up front with Matias Suarez as a substitute and potentially Angel Correa as well. I think it's going to be very shocking, but Dybala and Icardi, in my opinion, both miss out along with Aguero, or at least two of those three do not make the final 22.
That's interesting. Rob, I want to throw that over to you, especially with Roy's comments, because, you know, we look back on the Serie A season. Obviously, Mauro Icardi has had loads of problems, fallen out of favor at Inter, been stripped of the captaincy, really hasn't got back into form. Dybala certainly had an off year, especially compared to last year. Aguero's had a great season, but obviously 30 years old, you know, Scaloni might want to gauge a little younger moving forward for the 2022 World Cup. You're not going to replace Messi. You're not going to remove him from the squad. Lautaro had a good season. So what are your thoughts, Rob, on this whole starting striker situation?
Yeah, I have to agree with Roy. I think your guess is as good as mine. I think when you look at form, I mean, I think it would be great to see a player like Lautaro start for this Copa America. I don't think it will happen, but I'm going to give him an exception. I think Aguero will start with Messi. I think that's going to function well for this type of tournament, you know, a short tournament. But in the long term, my guess is on Lautaro. I think he just is full of confidence, and you know, many people wanted him on that squad for the World Cup last year. And I just think at his age, I mean, yes, there is a 4-year gap with Dybala, a 5-year gap with Icardi. I just think he has loads of confidence. I think you just look, you see him play, you see how, you know, gifted he is, how he's willing to go and you know, never gives up. I think just because of age and form, after the Copa America, I see him starting for Argentina. I think he'll be the starting striker. I just think it's perfectly placed for him. I mean, we don't know who could come up in the next few years at striker, but I think right now, in terms of long term, I would put Lautaro to start the World Cup qualifiers. The Copa America, I would pick Aguero. I just think because of the season that he's had, I think just because of the tournament that we're going to see from Argentina, I see him starting that team with Lionel Messi. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, they need goals. I mean, they obviously can get that from Messi. I'm sure they can get it from Aguero as well. Whatever happens as well, it's our guess as good as my guess as good as everyone else's guess. So we just have to wait and see. It'll be interesting to see if Dybala, Icardi, or even Aguero is even on that team heading into the final 22-man squad. So we shall see. We shall definitely see. So, Roy, I mean, we're heading into predictions. You did mention that for Argentina, the expectations are low in comparison to other years. I mean, yes, you look at the teams that are more favorites to win this. You know, you have Brazil on home soil. You have Uruguay who look good. You know, you have Colombia that look good. You have other teams as well. But heading into this Copa America in particular, we got to mention Lionel Messi. I mean, obviously, you know, he's the main elephant in the room. He needs a title. I think just because of everything that has been going on, I think the whole pressure, and especially the season that he had in Barcelona. Okay, yes, it didn't end well the way that he wanted to, but you have to, you cannot ignore the fantastic season, which he always has, of course, heading into the Copa America. Does he need this Copa America to really value, or do you feel that on home soil next year in 2020, that's the Copa America that he really needs to focus on long term?
Oof, that's a loaded question. That's a loaded question. Look, you mentioned an elephant in the room. Does he need a title? There was the talk back in 2010, more so 2014. 2018, every summer, every tournament, every heartbreak, every empty bottle of alcohol I've had to chug to forget and everything. It's all been talked about. Does he need this title? Yes. I think for him personally, I don't think he needs this for his career. I know that sounds weird. And I know a lot of people will look at, you know, careers and be like, well, you know, Messi never won a senior international title, so he's not the best of all time. He's not this, he's not that. Fine. Everyone's allowed their opinion. What I think is, I'm not saying he should focus more on next year because it's on home soil, but I feel like this one is, and I hate to say it, I feel like this tournament is kind of a write-off. I think next year, I hope that next year, the team will be in better shape than they are now. That's why I feel like he should, you know, not concentrate more on next year, but I think next year would mean more. You know what I mean? Winning it this year would be ridiculous. It'd be glorious. I'd love it. I could honestly say if Argentina win the Copa America this year, especially in Brazil, I could honestly say I would die a happy man. I would die a happy man if Argentina won the Copa America in Brazil this year. If they didn't, and they end up winning it next year, you know what? He won it on home soil. And he would have, you know, broken the 24, 25, 26-year curse of not lifting a trophy, or Argentina not lifting a trophy. I think for him, he needs it. I think he wants it. And obviously, we see it. You know, we see how much he wants a title, how much he wants to win with Argentina. I'd say this year's a write-off, unfortunately. And hopefully next year, the team will be in better shape to win it. And if he wins it next year, that's great. If not, you know, what are you going to do?
Joe, I mean, I'll pose the same question to you. But, you know, you did do a bit of foreshadowing there, Roy, about Lionel Messi and his desire to win an international title. You know, we've mentioned it, so on, that he will always be one of the greatest of all time, regardless of our title with Argentina or without it. I think that's going to be undisputed. You know, you can debate it all you want. But I think for me, and I think for all of us here speaking right now, I don't think he needs that title, because he'll always be considered one of the greatest, if not the greatest, to ever kick a ball. But heading into this Copa America in particular, especially in Brazil, you know, we saw what happened 5 years ago. You know, they made it to the World Cup final in Brazil and they lost. They made it to two Copa America finals and lost on penalties. Messi quit the national team after that World Cup shootout. Heading into this in particular, especially now with everything that's happening, you know, Roy mentioned that this is essentially a new generation of players, you know, wanting to make a name for themselves and to rebuild. If you're Lionel Messi and, you know, we know what the type of person that he is. But if you're Lionel Messi and win the Copa America either this year or next year, or lose either or one of them or anything, do you stay on this team heading into World Cup qualification? Would you rather, you know, just say, you know, I've had enough, you know, I've did everything that I could, you know, I've been on this team for 15 years, I made it to four finals, unfortunately I couldn't win any of them, I want to stay at Barcelona and finish my career there and not focus and let these players come in and try to win something. Would you rather do that, or do you still get the desire to try to win something? And if so, the big one would be that World Cup in 2022.
No, I think right now the focus is to win a title in the blue and white, right? And I think that's his main focus, is to win a title at that top level. And I don't think Messi cares whether it's the Copa America or it's the World Cup. I think it's as long as it's a trophy at the end, that he's captained this side, he's lifted a trophy with this side. I think that is probably the most important thing to him. I think he does have a major opportunity, but for me, Lionel Messi has to do it in one of these two Copa Americas. I think if he doesn't do it in one of these two Copa Americas, then I think you do see him come back for the World Cup. Okay, I think it's almost a given at that point, because it's the last opportunity. You're going to have a 29-year-old Paulo Dybala. You're going to have a 28-year-old Angel Correa. You're going to have a pretty good team next to you that you won't necessarily need to be the focus, where right now Messi is the focus of absolutely everything. So I think if he does it in one of these two Copa Americas, I think you see it, he'll become less likely the person to come back for the World Cup in 2022. But I think that if he doesn't win one of these two titles, then I think you're almost guaranteed Lionel Messi comes back and he does play in that 2022 World Cup, because that will be ultimately his last opportunity. He'll be 35 years old. I don't see him trying to tack on another title with Argentina after that. Roy, just a question to you. I mean, how do you see, prediction-wise, do you feel that one of these two titles would kind of give him a free pass to the 2022 World Cup? Or do you feel that if he loses both of these Copa Americas or does not win the title, that he is almost a given that he will show up for that Copa, for that World Cup, because it will be ultimately his last opportunity?
See, I was going to say, I kind of disagree with you.
Okay.
I think no matter what happens, and I'll explain why, but I think no matter what happens, Messi stays on until 2022. Okay. The reason being, is, you know, let's say he wins this Copa America, the next one, doesn't matter. Then it's kind of like, well, you know what, guys? We finally have a team. We won something. We broke the curse. We got the monkey off our back. Let's go to the World Cup. You know, personally, it's going to be his last hurrah. It's going to be his last chance. If we win it, great. If not, you know what? We have the team to at least try, because we won a Copa America, right? I think that's how maybe he would think, or maybe that's how I think, in the sense of, if he wins one of the next two Copa Americas, we have the team to actually win something, because we won the Copa America. let's go to the World Cup and give it a chance. And if you win it, great. If not, I think he retires there either way. Win or lose, in 2022, I think he retired.
Okay.
I think if he doesn't win this year or next, I think he still goes to the World Cup, just because next year's 2020, World Cup will be 2 years away, middle of World Cup qualification. You know, I think it's kind of, it's too close for him to say no. You know what I mean? I think if he loses this Copa America and the next one, but the World Cup was in 4 years' time afterwards, I don't think he makes that World Cup. But because it's only 2 years afterwards and in the middle of World Cup qualification, I think he ends up making the World Cup. So win or lose, you know, the next two Copa Americas, I think Lionel Messi will make the World Cup in 2022.
All right, so to close out the interview, obviously we know what winning a Copa America or winning any international title would mean to Lionel Messi. What would winning this Copa America in particular mean to some of the other players on this team and to the fans? And what would it actually mean to Scaloni as well, who is arguably a caretaker coach at the moment?
I think for the rest of the players, it's, how can I put this? It's kind of like, hey, we're a new generation. Yes, the previous generation made it to World Cup finals and Copa America finals and everything, but we were the generation, and we will forever be known or remembered as a generation to have finally won a title after 25, 26, 27 years, you know, after that drought. I think for them, it would give them a boost of, no matter what, you know, yes, World Cup qualification might be difficult, or maybe during the World Cup, things are not going well. But you know what, guys, the majority of us, or most of us, were there when we won that Copa America. We're winners. We have that winning mentality. And I think that's the most important thing, because this generation would start off with the Argentina national team with the winning mentality, with the mentality of, we won a trophy, we won a Copa America. And I think that's what it would mean to them. For fans, I mean, it's 26, 27 years of heartbreak. It's 26, 27 years of crying, of tears, of whatever you want to call it. It would be great. And if they win it in Brazil, you know what? Winning a World Cup, like in 2014, winning a World Cup on Brazilian soil, in my opinion, is probably even sweeter than winning it at home, winning it in Argentina. Winning a Copa America after 27, 28 years in Brazil is the biggest middle finger you could give to Brazilians, I think, in my opinion.
And I think it's, you know what, sorry, I just want to jump in. I think it's more embarrassing than that
one. Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course. Definitely more embarrassing. Well, I don't know about more embarrassing.
Well, it's an easier tournament to win.
Brazil lost 7-1 to Germany.
Right, but it's an easier tournament to win in that sense.
What's that?
I said it's an easier tournament to win because there's less teams and, you know,
you're Copa America. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. No, that I agree with. But for me, it's still, okay, maybe not the ultimate FU, but in a way it's the ultimate FU after, you know what? We made three finals. We lost all three finals. You guys laughed at us. You guys have the better team, blah, blah, blah. But we want it on your turf. We want it on Brazilian soil, on enemy soil. You know, take that. I think that's what that would mean. Winning it next year, you know what? That's great as well. That's just as good. Mm-hmm. And you're winning it on home soil. You get to celebrate with your home fans. Either way, I don't know if it would erase a lot of the heartbreaks, but it's definitely a start. And, you know, I at least want to see Argentina lift one senior trophy in my lifetime. And I hope it happens this year.
You know, the biggest of them all would be is if they won it on Brazilian soil against Brazil in the final, right?
Oh, my God. See, this is...
That's the dream.
That's the biggest dream.
Yeah.
That's the biggest dream. You know what? Argentina defeats Brazil on Brazilian soil in the final with Messi scoring a hat-trick.
Yeah,
I could die then and there, and I would die with a smile on my face. No regrets. I'm sorry to my parents. I'm sorry to my brother, to my family. I love you guys. This would probably top everything.
Well, Roy, I'm going to...
Tongue-in-cheek. That said, tongue-in-cheek, obviously.
I was going to say, I'm going to request that you hold off on doing that until after you come back on the show, because we're going to have to recap the final and everything, and we're going to need somebody, and I couldn't think of a better person to do it with than you at that point. So, gentlemen, I do want to thank you both for joining me tonight and helping Breaking Down Argentina. So, on behalf of Roy Neymar and Mr. Roberto Rojas, I am Joe Uccello for This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the Beyond the Pitch and FNX Media Networks. Thanks for listening, and good night.